Authority. The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 1065.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
I am George Williams, your host, and I'm so glad to be back here in the studios, even though it's a Thursday night instead of Tuesday night, but next Tuesday we should be back on the air, okay? Of course, you know, because of the Auburn game, they bumped our show up to Thursday. I think we have one more of those games next month. And we'll be back on our regular time schedule, which is Tuesday. Now, we also have two very important guests in the studio, and after the first break, we'll introduce them, and we'll tell you why they're here. First, folks, we've got to talk about this charade, or whatever you want to call it, this impeachment. What a bunch of crap, this so-called impeachment, you know. And it means nothing. Like Dick Morris said, the only reason they're trying to impeach the president, even though he's gone, which I've heard from scholars, it's unconstitutional. And we know it's unconstitutional. But Nancy Pelosi, you know, she's leading the group. She's leading the group. And so it's not gonna work. And they don't know what President Trump is going to do. And four years from now, but one good thing he's going to do, he is going to help Republicans, Congress, and the Senate take over the leadership of the Senate in 2022. So we look forward to that. And there are a lot of things that we're doing to try to help him out and make sure that we do, because boy, with these socialists, communists, so-called Democrats, we've got a lot of work to do, and we're going to do that. Right now, folks, we're going to listen to Dick Morris. He's a man with a plan and knows what's happening. Here he is, folks.
In a way, we owe Nancy Pelosi a debt of gratitude, because bringing the second impeachment and smoking out the Republicans has really helped us to separate the true believers who voted for Trump from the make-believers who said they were for Trump and then switched to go against him as soon as he was out of power. It's not just important that we elect Republicans and conservatives. It's important that we defeat the hypocrites, the rhinos, the go-along people, the posers who pretend to be Republicans and when the chips are down, abandon us. Chief among those is Liz Cheney, the daughter of the former vice president. She's part of Republican royalty. And her vote against Trump was outrageous. It wasn't so much a vote to throw him out as to kick him on the way out. She's up in 2022. My show on Newsmax on Saturday at 4:30 is about how to defeat her. And I interviewed the two guys who are probably going to run against her in the primaries coming up next year. But there are other people we have to look at. One of the biggest ones is Bill Cassidy, the senator from Louisiana, who voted to throw Trump out of office. He rode Trump's coattails to re-election and has been posing as a supporter of Trump's. And now all of a sudden he turns against him and votes to throw him out. The other hypocrites and make-believers who we should deal with are Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, Sue Collins from Maine, Pat Toomey from Pennsylvania, and Ben Sasse from Nebraska. These are all people who posed as conservatives, posed as Trump supporters, and then turned on them when he was suddenly out of power. Thanks, Nancy. We'll remember those names. In a way, we owe Nancy Pelosi a debt of gratitude.
All right, folks, that was Dick Morris, and he's got some very important information. So hopefully you listen to that and act accordingly. It is totally unbelievable what they're trying to do. You know, there are things we must do, folks, and we must stop the Biden administration from doing what they are doing. I mean, this guy is all of this executive orders and, you know, so many people are out of work, et cetera, et cetera. We need to get them back to work and fight these Democrats. Fight them. Fill the courts. Complaint. That's one of the ways we can try and fight them. And like Dick said, all of those rhinos who are helping out the Democrats, you're going to go in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You're going to go. Okay. I think we have somebody on the line that we need to talk to, and we're going to bring him in right now. Go ahead. Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, my friend.
Yeah. Who is this?
This is John Merrill in Montgomery.
All right. My brother from another mother. How you doing there, John?
Everything's going well, my brother. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And John, we're hearing some real good things about you. Folks, this is John Merrill, our Secretary of State for Alabama. And I can tell you what, if it wasn't for his effort and Attorney General Steve Marshall's effort, we would be close to a blue state. I really mean that, John.
Thank you so much, brother. We're working hard trying to protect the integrity and the credibility of the elections process in Alabama, and we were so excited just a couple of days ago to see the report released that said that Alabama had the most secure elections in the entire nation. And when people are saying that about you instead of you saying it about yourself, you know that it's true. And so we're excited to get that report and to continue to work to preserve credibility and integrity and accountability in the process for all of our people.
Right. And, John, you're also helping other states out, right? Because I know you're at the top of the list of someone who's being reached out to.
Well, I can say that, George, and I will tell you I did an interview with the Wall Street Journal today that should be out next week as we're talking about what's actually going on in other states and how we're trying to help them solve their problems. And one of the ways that we're trying to do that is to ensure that best practices are adopted when it comes to election administration.
Okay.
So I'm actually chairing a National Commission on Election Integrity for the Republican State Leadership Committee.
Wow.
And we are identifying different practices that take place in different states in the union and ensuring that those are adopted by legislative bodies in states all around our country, which will help them find a way to be more responsive and more respectful for our people in the administration of elections.
Right. Did you see the video by Mike Lindell?
I did. I've had about four.
I mean, that's pitiful.
He got on a tear, didn't he, buddy?
Wow. That is pitiful what they've done for how they finagled these machines with the machines and the mail-in ballots. We've got to get rid of that, John.
Well, and that's part of what we're doing by identifying these best practices in state so that people know what acceptable practices are and what they should not be. And if they have some of those going on in their state, they want to make sure that they change those practices so that they will be abandoned and no longer used, because it's just costing the people that live there the opportunity to make sure that their vote counts. And George, our entire goal is just simply to make it easy to vote and hard to cheat.
Right. I agree with you. John, there's another thing. We're getting ready to start working on redistricting. And
yes, sir.
To me, I've talked to a lot of black Republicans in different states, and it appears that the focus of redistricting is on the black Democrats and not the black Republicans. It's unbelievable. We need to start working on that on behalf of black Republicans.
Well, and all of that will be starting shortly, because people that are going to be running for the legislature or people that are in the legislature will be able to start raising money on May the 24th of this year, because the primary election will be May 24th, 2022.
Right.
So those questions are going to be answered quickly as people start moving that direction. George, you're so right.
Right, right. Jim, we're gonna go into a break. Anything else you have for us?
No, but friends, look, I'm just so excited to be able to visit with y'all a little bit. And if you hear anything going on that needs attention, don't hesitate to give me a call. And again, let me share with your listeners, if they need to report something, they can call me on my cell, 334-328-2787, 334-328-2787.
All right, John, thank you. We're going to have you on in the future. You know that. And we're looking forward to hearing your name and seeing your name all over Alabama soon, okay?
Thank you, brother.
All right, John, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Folks, I am trying to make that mission possible. My mission is to stop the Democrats all over America. Stop the Democrats. Stop this malarkey that they are involved in. But here we are now. We are in our studio, and we have two very distinguished guests. I'll introduce them. First of all, we have Carol Wilson. She's with the National Federation of Republican Women. She's also an officer in the Eastern Shore Republican Women's Club. And we had Chad Niblett, who is a campaign advocate. And he's very much involved with different candidates. One of the candidates that he steered in the right direction, and they were very successful, is our new congressman for Congressional District 1, and that was Jerry Call. So, Chad, we'll start with you first. How you doing?
I'm doing great, George. Thanks for having us in here. I would say, though, that Jerry Carl steered himself in the right direction. It's easy to win with a good candidate.
Right.
And, you know, he's a man of integrity, as he's proven in his time in Washington so
right,
far.
Right, right. But every time I saw Jerry Call, I saw Chad with him. Okay?
Oftentimes you probably did.
That's true. So what do we have today, Chad? Tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Well, as you graciously introduced me, I am a campaign advocate, mm-hmm. and I'm active in a lot of different realms of politics, from the Block the Toll group with our state auditor, Jim Ziegler, and several other things. I'm a behind-the-scenes guy, trying to push what the majority of Alabamians believe in and what we want. That's me.
Okay.
That's it. It's as simple as that.
Great. So what do we owe you the privilege of being here tonight? You have something special you want to talk to our audience about, you and Carol.
Well, we do. There's a very pressing issue right now that a lot of people are concerned about and that a lot of people have been concerned about for several months and even dating back to 1937, and it's court packing.
Okay.
So we need to ensure that we preserve an independent Supreme Court of the United States. It's not a partisan issue. Anybody on either side of the spectrum, whether you're the furthest left or the furthest right, should back an independent Supreme Court. So that's what we're here to talk about tonight.
Okay. Wow. And that's very important. The Supreme Court is very important. And we need to keep it at 9.
I agree. And so did the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right. All right. How are we going to do that? And what is your organization doing in order to facilitate that?
Well, there is a proposed constitutional amendment that it has bipartisan support, and it simply states the Supreme Court of the United States shall be composed of 9 justices.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, you don't see amendments that are written that clearly. You know, there's some legal jargon in a lot of these, that's it. And there's no reason for us not to do this. Mm-hmm. Whether you are for or against any issue, whether it's gun control, abortion, so many things, any issue that matters to you, it's important that we have a fair Supreme Court, because we have 9 justices now. Mm-hmm. If court packing becomes a precedent, what's to stop it from becoming a 50-member Supreme Court, mm-hmm. or 200 justices?
Right,
and
right.
It'll just go on and on if we don't take
right.
action.
All right. I'm going to pick your brains. Why do you think they wanted to pack the court?
Simply put, for a political agenda. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. I think they want to undo a lot of the progress that's been made from either side of the spectrum. And I just think that it's simply to push a political agenda.
Mm-hmm. How many votes do we need in both houses, the Senate and the Congress, in order to get this
there are a couple of levels to this. To get the amendment passed, you've got to have 2/3, and then also to have the states ratify it. So,
right.
There are levels there. But the big challenge now with a Democrat-controlled House and Senate is getting it through committee and mm-hmm. getting it to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we've got to really focus on, and that's why. Yeah, we're pushing this as a bipartisan movement. I mean, mm-hmm. because it truly is.
Mm-hmm. So do we have bipartisan commitment?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, the original bill was sponsored by a Democrat in the House and a Republican in the Senate.
Oh, so. Okay. That is bipartisan.
It is. It truly is. So there's no reason for this to divide the country.
All right. Is there a time frame for them to get this done?
Well, it depends on how fast the left wants to push court packing through. But we already had House Joint Resolution 11 put into committee back in January, and after this impeachment sham, we're expecting it to be put into the Senate. So there's not a deadline for it, but the sooner that this amendment gets through, the mm-hmm. better off America is.
Right, right. Okay, that's interesting. Very interesting. And what can we as citizens do to help out with this process?
Make the phone calls.
Okay.
Send the emails. Call your neighbors. You know, mm-hmm. you're not calling elected officials, ask your neighbors and your friends to call elected officials. And also, join us. We have a weekly Zoom meeting mm-hmm. every Wednesday.
Okay.
You can sign up at keep9.org.
Keep9.org.
That's right. And that's 9 spelled out, not the number. So keep9.org. And you can sign up for the mailing list there and be updated. And the leader of the grassroots movement, he is Newt Gingrich's former committee counsel.
Oh, wow.
He worked with President Reagan on a lot of policy issues.
Okay.
And his name is Ramon Bueller. So I would recommend that everybody visit the website, sign up, and there are some action steps there to take, and also mm-hmm. there are ways to join us on our weekly call.
Wow. Wow. That is great. So right now you're in the process of getting the word out. And are there other states doing the same thing as we're doing here in Alabama?
Oh, absolutely. There are several states. There are many senators and many members of the House of Representatives that have signed on to this. Several states have passed resolutions
mm-hmm.
In their state legislatures to endorse the Keep Nine Amendment. Obviously, at the very beginning, states passed resolutions to endorse it on the federal level. But eventually, these states are going to have to ratify any constitutional amendment at some point.
Right.
So, yes, we're definitely not alone. In fact, your first caller tonight, Secretary John Merrill, he just got a letter signed by 15 secretaries of state from across the nation, from Alaska to Maryland down to Alabama. Okay. And originally it was 15, but we just found out yesterday that Secretary of State 16 from Tennessee signed on as well. So this is a widespread movement, and it's just the beginning.
Just the beginning, huh?
That's right.
Oh, right. Fantastic, fantastic. Anything else in this realm that you want to talk about?
Well, there are so many issues. I mean, you think about every great ruling that the Supreme Court has ever made. Mm-hmm. They've also overturned 236 of their own rulings.
Wow.
So imagine if court packing were to become a thing, that number could be 500 or 2,000 or 5,000.
Right.
I mean, it just gets to a point where, okay, every new administration and Senate majority just reverses what the last one did.
Right.
Yeah, checks and balances matter.
Right. Now, you are aware that the White House just appointed a committee. Okay. What is that committee all about? What is it all about?
It's a quote-unquote looking into the idea of judicial reform, whatever that means. We know what it means. There's a reason that President Biden and Vice President Harris wouldn't answer the questions about court packing before the election. We know that they're just trying to lead this into an excuse.
Right, yeah. I saw the impressions on Carol face, and after the break we're gonna be talking with her, but when you said that, the expression on her face was, you know, that is unbelievable, and that's important by them formulating that committee. Okay,
absolutely.
And they're
it's
trying
the first
to be
step.
Slick about it, but Democrats can't be slick. They can be dishonest, but they can't be slick, you know?
Well, and both sides can, and that's why this is so important.
Right.
It's to prevent this partisanship.
Right, right. All right. That sounds good, Chad. Folks, after the break, we're going to have Carol Wilson, and she's going to come and give us her version of this movement. Okay? We'll be right back. This is George Williams.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm George Williams, your host, and let's continue with the program. Now we have Ms. Carol Wilson, and she's a member of the National Federation of Republican Women, and she's going to give us some insight on that organization as well as the Keep Nine. So, Carol, how you doing?
Thanks so much, George. It's great to be with you tonight.
Great.
Thank you for this fantastic opportunity to talk
about
the National Federation of Republican Women and Mighty We Are.
Right, right.
So,
tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Okay, well, myself, oh gosh, I'm not really good about talking about myself, but I am a 33-year retired flight attendant from American Airlines.
Alrighty.
And when I served as a flight attendant, I was also serving for the union to make working conditions better for flight attendants in the air. And I served as a chairperson in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And in those days, I was a yellow dog Democrat.
Uh-huh.
And anyone that knows about the history of Democrats, yellow dog means that you would vote for a yellow dog before you would vote for a Republican.
A Republican, right.
So I've been on both sides of the aisle, now retired since 2008, and am now involved in a national organization of women, the National Federation of Republican Women, and leading the charge, if you will, for conservative values.
Okay.
But still in my heart, I will always, always be concerned about the working conditions of flight attendants in the air and their safety.
Gotcha.
So, and so in keeping with that, I have kind of both sides of the aisle in my heart.
Okay.
And so in carrying the issue of Keep Nine forward, mm-hmm. It is a bipartisan effort.
Okay.
Both sides of the aisle, I think, have much to gain mm-hmm. in protecting the court, the independence of the Supreme Court.
Right.
And this is an issue that is now a priority with the National Federation of okay. Republican Women.
Mm-hmm.
We were invited to come on board and listen to the arguments of what the merits were for protecting the Supreme Court. And mm-hmm. we have now passed a resolution in my committee,
mm-hmm.
of which I'm a member, mm-hmm. The Legislative and Research Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And we passed a resolution among our committee members. It was unanimous that this is a priority mm-hmm. for the National Federation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are very much involved across the United States in getting the word out in a grassroots basis mm-hmm. about the importance of protecting the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
The concern primarily is one of political manipulation
mm-hmm.
to gain advantages
mm-hmm.
for a platform. And also, it could be used as a retaliation maneuver,
right.
if you will.
Right.
So I think anyone that is thinking clearly going into the future, protecting the Supreme Court is one of the most fundamental,
mm-hmm.
Important issues going forward
okay.
to protect the conservative values of the United States of America,
okay.
life, liberty, and the pursuit sure. of happiness.
All right. Now, you said that you're in this region, but the National Federation, how many different chapters do you have in the U.S.? It's pretty large, isn't it?
It is. For example, here in Alabama, we have the state chapter mm-hmm. of which our president, Brittany Garner, is doing a fabulous job.
Great. I know Brittany, right.
And so we have here in Alabama our state executive level,
mm-hmm.
and then we have our local levels, of mm-hmm. which I'm a member of the Eastern Shore Republican Women. We meet the second Thursday of each month at the Fairhope Yacht Club.
I missed that today.
And 12 noon business meetings where we have speakers
okay.
from Alabama and outside of Alabama also that
right.
come and share with us viewpoints that they have. For example, Secretary of State Merrill has been with us, Attorney General Marshall has mm-hmm. been with us, now Senator Tuberville has been with us.
Right.
Our state party chair has been with
mm-hmm.
us. So it's from these types of guest speakers that we learn what is going on here in the state and also at federal level.
Mm-hmm. Right. You work very closely also with the National Republican Committee, right?
Yes. In fact, as a member of our Alabama Republican Party here on the state level, we have Paul Reynolds,
right.
Who is on the National Committee
right.
of the Republican National Committee. And
right.
then also our federation, our president, is invited to attend the very high-level events of the Republican National Committee and
okay.
has a working relationship with Ronna McDaniel.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. This is a very important group of women who are
mm-hmm.
politically involved
mm-hmm.
and passionately involved. And so they're committed. We had a group on the ground called Boots on the Ground,
right.
and this brought members from all over the United States to Georgia
right.
to knock on doors on behalf of the two senators who were running at the time.
Right.
And so this is
who
a very
cheated,
active
cheated,
group.
Who were cheated out there?
Oh, well,
their
now
seat.
Then,
yeah. hey,
We can go down that path.
Call a spade a spade. They would cheat it. They would cheat it. So we can go down that path.
Right. We sure can. But let's back up to keep nine.
Let's be nice. Huh? We Republicans have been nice for so long. This nice is we're throwing out of the window.
Well, I'm telling you, it's getting pretty testy these days.
No doubt. Fight fire with fire. It's getting testy. No doubt. That is true. But here in Alabama,
we do have support from Attorney General Marshall, who said that this is a fundamentally important issue. Mm-hmm. The attorneys generals across the United States have voiced their support for keeping nine justices. Our secretaries of state, with John Merrill at the lead, he has taken the initiative to get the secretaries on record.
Right.
On record of support. Then here in Alabama, we have House Representative Ed Oliver, who is right now he is taking the resolution through the House to support Keep Nine and get the Alabama state legislature on record.
Okay.
There are approximately 24 state legislatures now that are coming on record to support Keep Nine.
Okay.
And so that's very, very important when you're in the work of trying to get a U.S. constitutional amendment passed. And it can be done.
Okay.
Women's rights to vote, which the NFRW was very much involved in. Voter age 18 was another constitutional amendment that came from the grassroots. Term limits of the presidency was another grassroots push.
Okay.
And so we're calling on all conservative and Democrat moderates and independents to come forward and voice their concern and support to protect the United States Supreme Court from political manipulation.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic to hear, you know, and you're getting support from all over the U.S. for that.
Yes, it's broadly. And the website, once again, is www.keepnine.org. And then for the National Federation, it's www.nfrw.org.
Okay.
Come join us. It's a great cause.
Wow. Wow. That is fantastic. You know, we've got about 2.5 more minutes. What else do you have for our listening audience?
Because I think we've got a very interesting 2022 coming up. I think there's very good potential that there's going to be a change in the House.
Yes.
And there's going to be a change in the Senate.
In the Senate, yes.
Yeah. And, of course, people are very concerned there's going to be a change in who the president will be also.
Right.
A lot of talk, a lot of concern, a lot of considerations that there could be a change
in the
executive office.
Right, but the Democrats don't want to hear that. Okay, and that's why they're trying to keep former President Trump, this charade that they have, they're trying to keep him from, you know, and nobody knows what he's going to do 4 years from now, but they don't want him to come back.
Well, as I best understand, President Trump is very busy ensuring that he will never be banned from social media ever again, nor will others.
Right.
He's very much stands behind the First Amendment and the right to free speech.
Right, right, and that's important.
Which is the critical issue of today.
But you know, in some of those communist countries and some of those African countries, if you speak against, and you know, I was stationed in Africa for 6 years, and they have laws over there that if you speak against the government, you're going to disappear.
George, I flew Venezuela.
And I flew
it when Chavez was promising a chicken in every pot, quote unquote.
Right. Yeah.
And from the airport to the downtown hotel where we would stay, we would go past the barrios and the severe amount of poverty that we, you know, it was just jaw-dropping, astonishing what you would see before your very eyes.
Right.
And so to the starving masses, when you talk about putting a chicken in every pot, they're going to go for that.
They're going to go for
it. When you're hungry, you will vote for someone who's talking about food security. Yeah. And so now we move forward in Venezuela, and what do we have now? We have a Supreme Court that has been altered for political reasons.
That is true. Now, Carol, we appreciate you coming in. Chat, we appreciate you coming in also.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And we're going to have you guys in again because we want some updates on what's going on here.
It'd be a pleasure, George.
All right, folks.
So great to be with you.
All right. Same here. And we'll have him back again, folks. We definitely will. So we're going to go into our break, and then we're going to have another guest, a surprise guest. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, folks. And I said we had a surprise guest, and we're going to get right to it. And he is our newly sworn in congressman from Congressional District Number 1, Jerry Call. Jerry, how you doing? Or should I call you congressman? I don't want to disrespect your office now. Are you there?
George, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, things are going great. Glad to touch base with you.
All right. Same here. And we're still waiting. We got people waiting. We're going to be taking you around the congressional area so you can meet different folks, you know, especially in the minority community, because they definitely want to meet you, okay?
Love to. Yes, sir.
Right.
I'll hold you to that.
Right. So what's going on in Washington now?
Well, at this moment, all the committees are putting budgets together, which the funny thing is you know, I shouldn't say funny, but, you know, the Democrat Party's pretty much left us out of the budget process. So, but we are trying our best to get as much involved as we can. But we got the budget process coming together, and then we'll be back next week with the committee meetings. We're actually off this week, and I'm spending a lot of time in the field. In fact, I'm spending my entire time home in the field. So we're just plugging along. We're trying to make Washington work. It's probably one of the most unusual positions I've ever been in my life. So, you know, between the riots up there and now the fence and the barbed wire, and we still got the National Guard, and, you know, we're still being searched everywhere we go. It's like a police state. It's very uncomfortable.
Right. What are some of the tasks that you're working on now?
Well, I got on the Armed Service Committee.
Oh, great.
Which that will put me in a position to keep an eye on also shipbuilding and also Ingalls. Okay. And on the subcommittee, I actually got on personnel, so I'll deal with a lot of things with the military personnel.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. I also got on Natural Resources Committee, which that will give me some voice in with the snapper fishing or the snapper count. Mm-hmm. It will petrified forests that's out in the Gulf. It'll give me some insight, some voice on that also. So. Two great committees. I tried to get on both of these committees. I did get on them, so I must be living right.
Wow. That is fantastic. What kind?
The important thing about these committees is how it affects, you know, your district. That's
true.
And both of these affect my district very, very much.
Right. That is for sure. What else is happening there? I know you've only been there a month and a half.
We're just trying to work around the Democrats. I mean, there's just so many crazy things that are, you know, hitting the floor that they're trying to introduce. I'm certainly hoping there's more Democrat senators that are more moderate that'll disrail some of it. It's really just a mess, George. I hate to put it that way, but. You know, we've got to just try to keep it in the middle of the road into 2022, and hopefully we can take the House back.
Right.
That's our goal.
Yeah. And we're trying to line up some folks to to who's going to be running, you know, especially in the congressional arena. And
yeah, I didn't see a breakdown of the list, but I saw a list today that they have identified 46 Democrat districts that are in trouble.
Oh, great.
In 2022. All great. We need is seven.
Great, great. That's all we need is seven, right?
So that's all we need is seven to take control. So I think out of that many, we should be able to get, you know, 15 or 20. So we've got to work hard towards it.
Yeah, and the good thing about that also is that President Trump is involved in that, and he's going to raise a lot of money for our Republican candidates, and I think that's going to help out tremendously. He's not going away yet.
No, it's still Trump's party. You know, there's no doubt about that. We see it, in Washington. He may not physically be there, but there's not too many conversations. His name doesn't come up. Everyone's watching, seeing what he's doing. You know, everybody keeps saying, will he run 2024? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I'll guarantee you he'll be a strong driving factor in what happens in 2022 and 2024.
Right.
Because if anything, the Democrat Party has emboldened him to do even more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's going to be very, very, very interesting. Now, I do, and I won't give this name out. I know one person who will be running if he doesn't run for president, and a pretty nice guy and a very likable person. So we'll wait and see. But the Democrats they are afraid of him running in 2024, and that's why they is that the attitude there to you? And that's why they're pursuing this crazy impeachment.
We can't figure out exactly what's going on. You know, when you look at Biden and all these executive orders that he signed, I don't know what the number is up to now. I think the last time I heard it was 42.
Wow.
And I mean, you look at the pipeline that he shut down, all the unionized jobs that are there. I mean, those are the people that put him in office.
Correct.
You get down in the border states, you know, he's stopping the wall.
Right.
You know, a lot of those are Democrat districts, and they don't want that flood of immigrants coming in across the border.
Correct.
So it's going to, you know, I really don't understand from a political standpoint. Other than just paying back political favors, we realize he's doing that, but how that's going to help him in 4 years and the way this is going, it's just is just crazy. I just don't so much so fast, and you know he's trying to erase Donald Trump, you know, legacy, and this is the worst way to do it.
Right. Right, I definitely agree with you, and I know it's going to be difficult for you Republican Congress folks dealing with Nancy Pelosi and those other crazy folks, Democrats up there, you know. How are you handling that?
I would use that word crazy loosely until I got up there. I think they're very. It's almost a demonic atmosphere. I mean, it's their way, no way. They push right through it. I mean, they never look to the right or to the left. They just keep pushing.
Right.
And Congressman Burns talked to me at length about it. He told me how it was going to be. I believed him then. I certainly believe him now because I see it. But you know, they just do what they want to do. They don't ask. They have to let us know before we vote on a bill 24 hours in advance, and that's not always the case. So it's a very strange atmosphere. But you know what? I asked for the folks to elect me and send me there. I am not going to complain. I'm going to dig in. I'm going to do the best I can possibly do, and hopefully in 2022 I get reelected and I get to walk back in there and take that gavel away from Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, and don't worry, you will be back in there. We're going to make sure of that in District 1.
Well, that fence is coming down. If you've not been up there and seen that fence, and I wouldn't encourage anybody to come to Washington, D.C. right now, it is disgusting. razor wire around the top, 10-foot fence, razor wire.
Wow.
Our Capitol does not look that like that beautiful Capitol that we've all learned to respect and love.
Yeah.
It's like a military institute. I mean, it's just a lockdown. It's really sad. But you know what? We're going to come out of this, and we're going to come out of this stronger.
Right.
And we, the Republicans, cannot give up.
No.
Giving up is not an option.
Right.
Giving out, maybe, but not giving up.
I agree with you.
We just got to dig in and just keep doing what we can do, a little bit at a time.
All right. Congressman Jerry Call, we got a half a minute, and we really enjoy you coming on. And you know, every now and then, you know, anytime you want to come on, you just give me a call. You got my number.
Well, thank you, George. You've always been such a blessing to me and my family, and I thank you for that.
All right. Thank you, folks. Congressman Jerry Call.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks. That's about it. I think we had a very good show tonight, and we'll be back on next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday. We'll be right back. We'll be back then. So until then, everybody, Vicon Dales, everybody. Bye-bye.